am honored now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Kenyan Maasai Chief Salaton Ole Ntutu and Dr. Andrew Lustig, who is a naturopathic physician. Chief Salaton is here to spread awareness of his culture, the Maasai culture, and to do fundraising for his people. And Dr. Andrew Lustig is helping with that. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So many of us are just vaguely aware of Maasai people. You live in Kenya and I guess also parts of Tanzania. Mm-hmm. What is the land like where you live?
Thank you so much. I come from Kenya. My name is Salaton Ole Ntutu, and I live west of Kenya. I live a place called Loita Plain, and the name of the village is Majimoto. And the life of the Maasai community is still we still live in the tradition culture. And I came here to give awareness of the project I'm doing, but I came here for to fundraise money of the project I'm doing. And we are not there to change the culture, but we are trying to stop harmful practice.
What is the project you're doing, and what are some of the harmful practices?
I do four projects. And first of all, we help Widows Village and our community. For an example, a man of six wives died, and these women are not allowed to marry again. And the women that still have children. And these children, they still want to have health. They still want to go for education. And they still want also cows like other children of the Maasai community. That's first one. And then a second project is education from the child girl. We are stopping harmful practice from the child girl. Circumcision and early marriages. We have also the clinic, community clinic. It's a small hospital. And that's a project also we have been doing. And that's how we come and we meet with Dr. Andrew. And also we have conservation, whereby we are just giving the community awareness of the land, the Maasai land, because the Maasai land still have a big room for the innocent wild animals migratory. Because the Maasai people, 80% or 90% of the Maasai people are not educated, or either they never travel, they don't have even enough information. And I'm lucky because I've been traveling and give back more information to my community. So that's why I'm here, to raise awareness of my community.
So you grew up living a traditional life, not a modern life with refrigerators and all that stuff.
No, I grown up as a Maasai warrior and a chief, and I'm still live on that life.
What is that life like? How do you live? What are your days like? What do you eat? Do you hunt?
No, we don't hunt, but we look after the cows, and we still live in the villages. The village is very big different than American village. American village, they mean a village of 5,000 people together. But back home, the village means five families, they can live together and they support each other. The way of taking care of the cows, sheep, and goat, and they share what they can have it. And the life of the Maasai people, they eat twice a day.
And what do you eat?
We eat meat. We don't have vegetarian back to the Maasai community. We drink milk from the cow. We drink blood from the cow without killing. And we eat also vegetables. Nowadays, we eat something called ugali and mix with cabbage and skuma. But our main food is milk, blood, and meat.
Milk, blood, and meat.
Yeah.
And you talked about various animals, so you have cows and goats and sheep. Is the cow the principal animal that you eat?
The cow and goat also, and sheep. is the Maasai people, they don't have a kind of, yeah, in education, they are not there to, they don't know the numbers, you know, like counting.
Right.
So they depend with a goat, sheep, a cow is part of their bank. So that's why we are trying to stop fencing and to try to bring people together so that we can still have our normal life of migratory, of nomadic life.
Now, you have a nomadic life. What does that mean? Do you go seasonally from one place to another?
We follow the new pastures.
Okay. And so when one piece of land you've grazed, then you go on to a fresh piece of land.
No, it is free. We don't keep it like that. We migrate to other people, other Maasai area, and we migrate between the borders of Kenya and Tanzania, and miles away. Between 3 to 6 months away.
Okay.
But we can still come back to our home areas.
Now, when you migrate from one area to another, what are your houses like? How do you live, and where do you sleep?
We live under the stars. We live in temporary homes, which means we make the enclosure to the cows, and we live out to the enclosure under the stars with fire. And then the following morning we migrate, or we can stay there if there's still a lot of grass and water for cows.
We're talking to Chief Salaton Olentutu. Let's talk for a moment to Dr. Andrew Lustig. How did you become involved with going to Kenya and meeting Salaton?
You know, I traveled to different places in the world, Haiti and Nicaragua and Kenya and Amazon jungle, and I met Salaton years ago when I traveled to his village, Majimoto. I was actually working in several different places, from Nairobi all the way to Majimoto, up to near Uganda. And I met Chief Salaton when I was treating villagers there. I was there for a few weeks. And actually, the first time I met Chief Salaton was when he invited me to share some goat meat with him over a fire after I had worked a whole day. And having goat is a special occasion, and he was very generous and offered that to me. And at that time, one of the things he did was he took his big black hand and he interlaced his hand with my hand like this. And he said, "Andrew, we are the zebra." And so I knew that I had met somebody that really... And he's told me that, you know, we're brothers. And in fact, we just came from speaking at Santa Fe Prep. And those are all of his brothers and sisters, too. And this is what really caught me. And this is why I've spent a lot of time with Chief Salaton, and I've decided to bring him here.
Let's talk for a moment, and maybe both of you, about healing practices. What is Maasai traditional medicine like?
First of all, all this project I started because of my mother. My mother, she was a medicine woman, and she passed away 2 years ago. And I learned this. We learned this as Maasai young people. We learned through our elders of the community. Especially the Maasai life is that we have three stages. We have childhood, and we have warriorhood, and we have elderhood. And those are the three stages we learn how we can keep our culture. You people, you keep a lot things on the book, but we keep it through generations' informations. Information means three stages. When a young generation come, we over what we learn from our warriorship. What we use as medicinal, we use medicinal plants like holy trees, like holy water. Those are healing sessions. And we use also a lot of honey from the bees. And we use also the rocks. Those are the healing sessions we use in our community. And when Andrew came there, he learned a lot, and he said, yes, to tell me it is true, because I have been staying in the village, not staying in the city, but I have been staying in the village. And he said, yes, this is true, but what they learn as an American, Majimoto community, they need the help of medical from, you know, outside and all this, because in our community we don't have a lot of tests to know which disease you have it.
Right.
So that's how I learned from Andrew that yes, we need those medicine from outside, and he learned also from our community. So we are not throwing our tradition medicinal, but we need also to have both sides. We have to hold our tradition on the other hand, and we have to have education on the other hand.
Exactly. Now, from your perspective, what did you learn from Maasai medicine, and were there any overlaps between, for example, your practice as a naturopathic physician and what you saw there?
Well, you know, there are the pretty basic things that probably most people know about, which is, you know, in Salaton's village, they have some aloe vera plants that grow everywhere. And they already know that aloe vera plant is good for healing wounds topically and for healing internally for stomach and intestinal issues. And so they have various plants. One of the things I thought was pretty interesting is, you know, we take supplements and we have minerals and vitamins and all of that. And those are synthesized and made from, you know, natural products. But in Salaton's village, they just take the rocks that have the minerals. And they take some of the mud that has the minerals. I mean, in some places, they eat the dirt that has the minerals in it. And so they are, of course, pulling right from the source. And, of course, we're mass producing from the source.
Right.
And, you know, and eucalyptus, right? So the women cook over open fires, and they have been for a very long time. I met Salaton's mother when she was preparing a meal in her matutu, in her building.
Manyata.
Manyata. And matutu something else, I think. Manyata. And she was leaning over the fire, and she's cooking, and she's breathing in the smoke, and this is what the women do. And my recommendation was, because I believe she had some asthma, And so I said, well, why don't we take eucalyptus and boil it in some water, take the pot off of the fire so we're not breathing the smoke in, put a blanket over our head and do the neti pot deal. And so
Breathe steam
with eucalyptus and try to clear the lungs of the smoke. Because they cook inside enclosed spaces, though they are now also working on alternate ways to cook with using cow dung, which creates methane gas, which is clean. And there is a methane digester in the widow's village now, which is great because they won't be breathing in the smoke.
Very interesting. We're talking to Dr. Andrew Lustig and Chief Salaton Ole Ntutu. Let's talk about some of the practices that you're trying to end. One of them is female circumcision. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a normal practice within your culture?
Yeah, my tradition is still very, very strong, my culture, but we are not changing. And we have circumcision from the child girl, and that's what we are trying to stop. And what we are after, with the other leaders of the community and other families and other healthcare people, so that we can stop this circumcision. And also the government, my government in Kenya, is really don't like it. So we are stopping FGM and early marriages. And I
FGM, female genital mutilation, and early marriages.
Arranged marriages.
Okay, arranged marriages. What age do young men and women usually marry? How old are they?
This is, although we don't know how old we are because we don't have birth certificates, nor we don't have clinic to go to have bath. So yeah. I guess the girls, they circumcise between 9 to 13 years old.
And do they marry after that?
And then they marry after that. And what we are trying to do now, we are trying to look for another rite of passage instead of doing circumcision. And also, the biggest problem is still they live in the Maasai people, they still live in the countryside, whereby it's not easy to discover what's going on in. And so that's why we are step over to talk to our community, because if they use one knife, circumcise maybe 20 girls or 30 girls, there is a lot of AIDS happening in the countryside, and they can, you know, affect all the community or kill all the community.
Now, male circumcision is also part of the culture, is that correct?
Sorry?
Male circumcision?
Yeah, but we are not stopping male circumcision. What we are trying to do, we are trying to bring like unto another nurses or the circumcised men to learn hygiene, the way of hygiene, so that they, if they circumcise boys, they cannot transmit diseases to each other. And they can use different knives, because before they use one knife to circumcise maybe 20 or 30 boys, and that is, we are not stopping circumcision from the boys.
Why do they? Do you know what the reasoning is originally behind FGM?
For girls?
For girls.
I don't know if it is true, but in our community, we believe women, they are very powerful, more than men and all over the world. And the powers of a woman is there. So it is a part of way to control powers of a woman.
So it's a way of disempowering women. So now, if that practice is stopped, you might have equality.
Yeah, we are trying to look for an opportunity to the Maasai girl to have a right to stand for the right of other women, and to have a right to have his education and to have their families also, to talk with their families.
Now, you are a warrior. You were raised in the warrior tradition. What does that mean? How are you trained? What are the skills that you learn as a warrior man in the Maasai culture?
I think I told you that we have three stages. We have childhood, first stage. We have warriorhood, second stage. We have elderhood, third stage. To become a warrior, first of all, we live with wildlife. We live with lion, we live with elephants. We still have enough room for all those innocent or dangerous or wildlife next to us. And we believe that they are not dangerous. They are just our neighbors. So if the neighbors are close each other, they need to be friend. So we are the friend of wildlife. We are friend of those animals. So that's why we are warriors. We are warriors to go to train how to live with those wildlife. On way of you learn the wind directions, because the elephant just need for you to learn the wind direction. We learn footprint. We learn dropping from different animals. We learn the sense of cows if they see a dangerous animal. So that's the meaning of warriorship. And we learn also about medicinal plants and how to save our culture. That's the meaning of warriors.
Now, what about for women of that age?
The women also, actually they go in the forest between 1 to 2 months with warriors and elders to learn also about medicinal plants. And all to learn also about different sounds of birds and different sounds of wildlife. So they are also there, going also to learn all those wild animals.
Let's talk about other parts of your culture. To what extent are music and dance part of your daily life?
Each and every age set or generation have their own song, have their own song of that age set or generation. You know, like they have a song, but we don't have instrument. We have just voices, you know, coming together and respond the song, and then we sing and use our neck. And yeah,
so you don't have instruments?
No. We have one instrument whereby the horn or an antelope called oryx, the oryx horn, and that oryx horn is just during the warriors has their village when they have graduations, they have that horns.
Okay.
When they have any danger, they have that horns. That's the only instrument we have. So when someone knows there is any danger, they just come out and blow their horns so people they can come out and they be ready.
Now, I would guess that there's a lot of Maasai people, and that some of them go to the city, go to universities, become educated, and go back and forth between the cities and the villages. Is there a kind of mixing of urban and village culture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those who they have been to school, first of all, is a big threat from the Christian. You know, the Christian.
Evangelism.
Yeah, they brought, when they start to build the schools around the community, they bring their Bible and they talk what they know. And they brought people that you're on the wrong way, so this is the right way to pass. And that is a very big confusion to let the young girls or young boys to go to the city and they forget back to their culture. And that's been happening.
Andrew Lustig, you have brought Chief Salaton to Santa Fe, and indeed he's traveling around the country talking about his culture and doing events. Now, we have a bunch of events coming up in Santa Fe. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So we have several days of events. Tonight, Thursday night, at Farron Dancer's house in Monte Sereno at 6 p.m., there's a sit-down dinner and a speaking engagement by Chief Salaton, and that will be catered by Jumbo African Restaurant. On Friday at the Rail Yard Market Building at 6 p.m., Salaton will speak, as well as the mayor and Joe Wilson. Saturday night will be at Body at 5:30 p.m., another sit-down dinner and speak engagement at Salaton. And we would really appreciate if your listeners would consider coming. They can buy tickets at the Lenzik. They can call the Lenzik at 984-1234.
988-1234.
I'm sorry, 988-1234, yeah. And they can also go on the Lenzik website.
Lenzik.org.
Right. And they can also go to facebook.com/ Kenya Visionary Santa Fe.
Kenya Visionary Santa Fe. And so lots of ways to find out what's going on. And there's also a market where people can look at jewelry and spears and masks and things that are for sale.
Absolutely. Those are different times. You can find that out on the website. I want to relate just one good reason why your listeners might want to support this, this tribe. It'll be for education, healthcare, and quality of life improvements. This morning I was sitting at breakfast with Salaton, and I had a picture of a young boy on my refrigerator that I had met a year ago in Chief Salaton's village, and he pointed to that boy and he said, "That boy's not living anymore." I said, "What happened?" He said, "We didn't have a car and the boy died." And so you know, we all
hear... You mean you just couldn't get him to medical care?
Couldn't get him to medical care. There was no doctors there unless myself or another doctor goes. And, you know, we all have three cars or whatever we have. A car would have saved the boy's life. That's the difference, especially in emergencies.
Right. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being with us, Dr. Andrew Lustig and Kenyan Maasai Chief Salaton Ole Ntutu. Thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.